So, yeah, the similarity is just that blaming the bodyguards is ridiculous. Here, like, the hand signals, I'm sure they were just, like, crowd, like, tracking stuff that was going on, because Charlie is in front of a group of people, but it's on a campus, so there's all these, there's, like, the group that's actually around Charlie that's, like, wanting to get on the mic and, like, argue with him and debate me, bro, and the people that are there to watch that. But I'm sure there's, like, other groups of, like, college people, like, just traipsing about the campus going from point A to point B. And I'm sure those hand signals are just, like, there are eight kids walking left to right in the background here. Someone get eyes on them to make sure everything's going on. Because they're just trying to make sure that, like, nobody starts shit. Like, nobody is around to do anything. And go ahead.
In Frank Turek's case, like, if you watch it, he just kind of, like, lifts his hand and touches the brim of his hat and moves it real quick. It's just, like...
Literally, he's sweating.
Yeah, or, like, I wear hats all the time, and I'm just, like, constantly fidgeting with that thing. It's like they're baking him touching his hat, essentially.
Right. Right. And, like, all of that is... I've said this a bunch online, but I will repeat it here because it's accurate. This thing with the bodyguard and the hat touching, this is all a recreation of Umbrella Man from the Kennedy assassination. And it's equally as ridiculous because the idea of Umbrella Man was that he was pumping his umbrella up and down to indicate to the sniper teams they needed to fire more shots to kill Kennedy. Which they would not need to look at his umbrella to know that. They are lining up Kennedy for more bullets. Like, having somebody doing that would be a hat on a hat. It is superfluous. There's no reason for it. Much as Charlie Kirk is stationary under a tent, he is not going to move. As Haley mentioned previously to me, that Charlie is there for 3 hours. He's going to do a 3-hour set at this campus where they've set up the tent for him. He gets in a chair. He's got a mic. People go up to the public mic. They debate him. The most Charlie is going to do in those 3 hours is, like, lean forward in his chair a little in response to someone's question, or maybe he's going to bend over to drink some water. But the dude isn't going to move much. And all you have to do is... wait while they're switching out one questioner for another. And when they bring in the next person for the question, like, literally he's shot, like, engaging with the questioner where, like, they ask him about, like, how many trans shooters have there been, and Charlie's like, too many. And then the guy says, so he says something about violence, and Charlie asks if gang violence is included or not. And then he gets shot. And that's the thing. Charlie's just literally sitting there holding a mic, talking to a guy. And there's no reason why, like, someone would have to give the sniper the signal, go, go, shoot him now. Cause the sniper can see that Charlie isn't moving. The sniper can see that Charlie is currently engaged in a conversation where he's like, the only thing Charlie's doing is bringing the microphone back and forth to his mouth.
If you read the charging documents, according to his mom and dad obviously are cooperating with the police. So there's some of their stuff, like what they said in there. And then the roommate, is also cooperating with the police. So there's some information, in there. And according to the mother, what she told police is that, the shooter had talked about the event about a week before and called it, like, a stupid location. Because, yeah, in the modern age, when you're basically live streaming constantly, which Charlie was, he was usually live streaming from Turning Point Studio or wherever he was at. And it's like, when you're live streaming and you put up this calendar that has your events, and basically sitting in a bucket for the next 3 to 4 hours, like, I don't think you really need a hand signal.
Right, exactly.
With a bolt-action rifle with a 2K scope, that's not really that far. It was, like, 140-ish meters. Like, the modern gun just makes things, Like, I've shot guns. Like, I'm like okay at shooting, and like I'm okay at shooting because guns are easy to shoot. Like, right. They design them to be super easy to shoot, and like, you know.
Right. Guns would not be very popular if they were difficult to use. It would be, it would be a really tough thing to sell to the public if they were like, here's this weapon that can kill your enemies, but boy howdy is it tough to figure out how to manipulate it and use it. So yeah, I mean, it would be very silly. That's why put bullet in chamber, pull trigger, your enemy is dead now. Congratulations. You have figured out how to kill someone.
Yeah, and it's like you don't even have to practice like aiming down the sights, because it's just like get an attachment that basically shows you with a laser or like a crosshair that's like incredibly high quality, and it's pretty easy from there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's people always complain about this stuff, but like. Oswald had a 4X powered sight, and so everyone's always like, oh, the Mimgur Khan is a piece of junk, it sucks, but it was a rifle, and he had a sight that made it very easy for him to line up Kennedy, and that was it. I mean, so, there's just really nothing magical to it, and again, Robinson had a Mauser with a telescopic sight on it, and he shot Kirk with it. And actually, I think that there originally was some misidentifications of Oswald's rifle, and they said it was a Mauser too. So that's very funny that I just realized that connection.
The gun is part of the reason why the dad suspected something. The parents both saw, both the mom and dad of the shooter saw the, like, FBI photos, according to everything that's in the documents. Basically called one another and were like, do you think it looks like our kid? oopsies. And, they both suspect it, but also the gun was a hand-me-down from...
Yeah, from Grandpa, from Pop.
And, it is kind of like a unique, I guess, like version of the gun. And the dad texted, the shooter and asked, like, can I have a photo of Grandpa's gun? Yeah. So he was like sniffing him out, and then they just did straight up confront him and asked him, and he threatened to kill himself. And then they turned him in, alongside like a family friend / bishop / guy who used to work for the sheriff's department. And that's what's going on there.
Yeah.
I do have a question, because one of the things that I definitely, you know, I keep saying that this article I just wrote is like 8,000 fucking words. And it's because so much happened in the week after Kirk's assassination. Like, a lot of people obviously got doxxed and fired, and there's been just like ongoing awfulness happening related to that and how the Trump administration is weaponizing that. But also there was like acts of violence that happened around the country. There was a Kirk vigil in Huntington Beach, California that like was, I believe, organized by like the Kirk kind of MAGA folks, you know, like they're fascists, but they're MAGA fascists. And then a group of like, we actually vocally call ourselves Nazis and wear the Totenkopf on our shirt, and it says National Socialist on our back ass Nazis, showed up and started handing out propaganda to their kids. And they got into like a fight, like a physical altercation. Like fascist on fascist violence, but you know. And in Idaho, like a person that like was on their like bike driving, like passing by a group of people, said fuck Charlie Kirk, and like they encircled the guy and like kicked the absolute shit out of him, and the guy got arrested that was like, group assaulted. And there was definitely more instances of just, like, the super extreme far-right mobilizing and doing violence, and then also just, like, there being fights that broke out at some of these vigils. So I was just wondering if, like, the post-JFK assassination had, like, visible kind of response with censorship and just kind of, like, political, just, like, I don't know, just, like, street violence and, I don't know. Is any similarities?
I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened. You had, like, Jimmy Hoffa, the Teamsters. There was a, someone took a flag at one of their buildings and, like, put it at half mast. And Jimmy Hoffa immediately put it back up to full mast because fuck Kennedy. He hated that guy. And there were places in the South where people, like, did cheer the fact that Kennedy had been murdered. Eventually people got with the program and, like, forced mourning, as people have been talking about with Kirk. I mean, eventually people were like, yeah, being publicly in favor of the president getting murdered, probably a bad look. But I don't remember anything like actual, like, fisticuffs and violence happening. I mean, I'm sure there's something that could have happened like that if I, like, hadn't seen it. But going back to the whole bodyguard thing, there are two theories about the bodyguards killing Kennedy. The first theory was from Bill Cooper. And Bill Cooper's theory was that the limo driver shot Kennedy with some sort of specialized handgun. And the Zapruder film shows this in Bill's diseased brain. It doesn't. What looks like a gun is just a defect in the film. There's nothing there. And the other thing that happened, and the other thing about that that's so ridiculous is, any plan that it would have involved the limo driver shooting Kennedy would have had to have involved him somehow getting the gun past Governor Connally and Governor Connally's wife to be able to shoot Kennedy. He didn't have a clear shot at him. So this conspiracy is like, okay, we're going to fire a bullet, we're going to hit Connally, knock his ass down, and then you, the limo driver, will pull out your handgun and murder JFK. And shockingly, the wife of the governor, who was still conscious and alive at the time, didn't notice that the limo driver pulled out a gun. Jackie Kennedy didn't notice that the limo driver pulled out a gun and shot her husband in the head at point-blank range. And no witnesses pointed that out either. So very strange that, like, none of reality had anything to do with what Bill Cooper was suggesting. But if you look at the Zapruder film and think, like, crazy thoughts, you can somehow poison yourself into thinking that bullshit.